Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Well, you got a good story you'd like to share? I would love to hear it. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It seems like we are bombarded by some serious and often sad stories. Okay, we can put them sad in that category. We try to look at some positive things, you know. And we try to reserve some time to look at things that would be considered uplifting in some fashion. But, you know, we also keep the phone lines open during this time, too. Scott calling in. Hey, Scott, what's going on?
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I just I watched the whole ceremony for President Bush tonight, and yeah, I was over there with my mom, and we listened to that. And at the end, when W spoke, you know, it was there was a lot of good Mulroney from Canada. There was a lot of good memories about George Bush, and I know a lot of people didn't like the Bushes, you know, of course, you know, there's a but I dare anybody to say there at the end, there might be a few, but if you didn't have tears in your eyes when he talked about his sister and he talked about his mom and dad together in the afterlife, I would really, it was automatic tears. Like, you were talking about Mr. Rogers, and you hear about, you just don't expect it, but...
It just happens.
I thought there was going to be more jokes about, you know, his dad. He told a few, you know, like interesting stories and stuff, but that was very, very emotional.
Yeah. Did you see from the night before Bob Dole paying his respects?
Yes, I did. Yes,
that was
I
another did. One that of those was, moments.
That was another one of those. And he has... Well, he's got another one in Houston, I believe. There's going to be his good friend, and I can't remember his name. He was in his cabinet there, and I can't remember who's going to give the eulogy there. But
the one in Houston,
yes, one in Houston.
Was it James Baker you're talking about?
Baker, yes, sir, yes, yeah. sir, Baker. But it was very emotional today to see that. When Mr. Bush broke down and said, they're going to be in heaven and it's going to be a... And then he broke down a little bit and it was very emotional, actually.
It was. I think George W. did an unbelievable job with the eulogy. Just one of the best I've ever heard. In fact, it makes you think to yourself, you know, one day I hope someone could do that to me as well as he did for his father.
That's another one, yeah. Do you live your life as good as somebody else did that taught a lot of good information to other people? And
yeah,
you know, George Bush and with Barbara Bush and with everybody he came into contact with. And it was great to see the presidents there. And Jimmy Carter looks really good for his age, my goodness.
Oh, I know. But, Scott, I'm going to have to start giving my kids some better stories in the future to tell. And, you know, right now, if you were to try to give a eulogy of me, I don't even know what he would say. But I need to give him some better material. That's what gives me inspiration.
Yeah, better material. Start writing it down now, you know. Keep a little bit of a diary and just write down every day one thing they do good, you know.
Yeah. All right, Scott. Good to hear from you. Thanks.
Good to hear from you, too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, my son, he'll go up and give my eulogy. Go up there. I never listened to my dad. He was on late at night, and I was always in bed. So I guess that part of his life is off the table. Well, he's four, so I got a lot of time to catch up, hopefully, Lord willing. But all right, let's do the tell me something good. I got a good story here I'd like to share. And this one was from Jefferson City on the News Tribune. And this was posted on their website. It said, the clink of the coin may have sounded the same when it hit the bottom of the red kettle, but it was certainly more than a mere pocket change. Someone dropped in a 98 one-ounce gold-proof coin, an American Eagle coin. And apparently that thing is valued at about $1,300. Whew. Now, that's a good one. I wonder if you're collecting change for the Salvation Army and someone drops money like that into the bucket, I wonder if those people are trained to spot coins out of the ordinary. They got to know that once in a while something like this is going to happen, so they're going to have to pay attention. It says, we have no idea who dropped this wonderful gift into the kettle. We had no phone calls or messages about it beforehand. But whoever the donor is, we want them to know we are truly grateful for this donation and for the lives that will be helped as a result. So they're still out there, Salvation Army doing their thing, trying to get some spare change from you. Do it. Just drop some change in there. You got a young kid. Give the money to the kid to go drop in. It'll make him feel real good. Both parties involved. Coming up next, I'm going to play an interview, and this is one of those weird interviews. So earlier today, I got an email about a Democrat who wrote a book about Robert Mueller and the New World Order. And I thought, well, this could be interesting. It's a Democrat that doesn't like Robert Mueller. I thought all the Democrats looked at him as, oh, this is going to be the most important figure in the next year after all of these results come out. Well, he does not like Robert Mueller. He is a sitting state senator in Louisiana. So he's serving in office as a Democrat, highly critical to Robert Mueller. I had a conversation with him, and it was only supposed to last about 10 to 15 minutes. And we ended up talking for close to a half hour. So he's got a lot to say about this, and he's done a lot of research on this. And we're going to air it coming up. It's a long interview, but it's one that I think you'll enjoy. His name is John Milkovich, Democrat state senator in Louisiana. Coming up next, Overnight America, KMOX. Joining us now is a Democratic state senator in Louisiana, author of the new book, Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order. John Milkovich, thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Ryan, it's my privilege to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on this topic in general. We're waiting to, every week it seems like there's a little drip of information coming out from the Robert Mueller camp. People are always interested what's going to happen there. A lot of people have speculations. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how this may play into a bigger, and dare I use the word conspiracy?
Sure. Well, and listen, this is a vital issue right now, Ryan, to the survival of our republic, and I don't think I'm overstating. Really, the focus of our book is tributes, trajectory, and treason. Robert Mueller has been lauded and received plaudits and commendations from the politically correct, high-ranking public officials in the mainstream media. His trajectory. He's very recognized and powerful figure in Washington and America, the world, really. Mm-hmm. So here's where we get to the treason. It is very well documented that Robert Mueller has been engaged in governmental wrongdoing, corruption, cover-up, and just evil for 30 years. And our book traces it back to 30 years ago, Whitey Bulger gang. While Whitey Bulger and the Irish Mafia were terrorizing Boston and leaving a trail of bodies, Robert Mueller was right in the middle of Whitey Bulger's reign in approximately 19-year reign in Boston. Mueller was in the middle of it temporally and geographically as the assistant U.S. attorney in Boston, later the U.S. attorney in Boston. And not only was Whitey Mueller and his gang racketeering and murdering people, they were being assisted and protected by the FBI, and some researchers believe that and have asserted that the FBI was even assisting Whitey Bulger in the cover-up and commission of murders. Well, where was Robert Mueller, this Mr. Law and Order, straight arrow, Dudley Do-Right? Right in the middle of it, he didn't lift a finger, didn't lift his voice up, didn't didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He basically took a powder and allowed Whitey Bulger and crooked FBI agents to terrorize Boston.
Democratic State Senator in Louisiana, John Milkovich, joining us, and he has a new book out looking at some of the past events around Robert Mueller and what that may mean for this investigation. John, you said there was a couple of other events, too, after that, that you should point out, and you do point out in this book.
Pan Am 103, a horrible tragedy. 270 people perished on a flight from London headed towards America in 1988. Mueller ended up leading the investigation, the United States and portion of the investigation, and it was a signature Robert Mueller cover-up. Shortly after the bombing, it was clear that an expatriate Palestinian, Ahmed Jibril, was paid by the Iranians to commit the bombing. It was very clear that he had received assistance to get the bomb on board Pan Am 103 by Mansour Al-Qassar, a Syrian drug dealer who was trafficking heroin into America. It was also clearly established that a CIA black op group was helping Al-Qassar traffic heroin into America. Figure that one out, folks. But it's been documented by writer and researchers and people that have done the books, that written books on this issue. So we get a clear-cut mass murder committed by Ahmed Jibril and taken down 103. And by the way, the evidence against Jibril, they documented that he was paid by Iran to do the blow up the planes before and after, received a total $11 million. The payments were documented. The conversations between Iran and Jibril, where he was contracted to do the bombing, were documented and intercepted by U.S. and other intelligence agencies. He was caught. His team was caught weeks before the bombing with almost identical bombs, caught with a terrorist bomb maker named Marwan Khrizat, a top-ranking Iranian official, later admitted to paying. I mean, it was clear-cut, so clear-cut, former CIA agent Robert Baer said within shortly after the 103 bombing, Pan Am 103 bombing, it was essentially unanimous among the CIA rank and file agents. Everybody knew that this came from Syria and paid for by Iran. So what happens, in the fall of 1990, there was a conversation between President George Bush, 41, and Maggie Thatcher. Mm-hmm. They said, we do not want to get Syria and Iran mad at us because we're fixing to go into the Gulf War. So the investigation did a 180. Mm-hmm. And instead of Ahmed Jibril, the terrorist who we know committed the crime, with the help of Al-Qassar, with the blessing of the CIA, I hate to say it, the investigation did a 180, and we brought in some convenient scapegoats. So two Libyan intelligence officers that had nothing to do with the crime are the ones taking trial. So there we see the hallmarks of the Mueller investigation. The guilty go free, the innocent get persecuted. We could talk about Pan Am 103 and Whitey Bulger. We have the BCCI scandal. He was brought in by George Bush, 41, Senior President Bush, to basically, quote, clean up, unquote, the BCCI scandal, the banking scandal. That was money laundering, financing of drug traffickers and terrorists, intel black ops, involving billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Mueller's math is pretty interesting. There was billions of dollars mishandled in the BCCI scandal, but basically everything was swept under the rug or, you know, people got slaps on the wrist. Fast forward, Paul Manafort supposedly, beat the government out of a few million dollars. Well, there was 1,000 times as much money at stake in BCCI, and basically the big boys that were involved in the wrongdoing, you know, took a walk, got nothing happened to them, but Paul Manafort was facing whatever, you know, the rest of his life in prison. Ruby Ridge, federal agents shoot two members of Randy Weaver's family to death, his wife standing in the doorway of her house holding her 10-month-old baby unarmed, shot to death. His 14-year-old son was, the family claims, ambushed by federal agents, was running back to the house and shot to death with a submachine gun by a federal agent. Randy Weaver was shot in the back by a federal agent who admitted he was trying to sever his spine and kill him. So we have two killings, and Randy Weaver's got shot in the back while he was unarmed by a federal agent trying to sever his spine. And what is Robert Mueller's response? He gets furious. not at federal agents for shooting up a family in Ruby Ridge, Idaho, while they were surrounded, but he gets mad that anyone had the audacity to criticize federal agents. Let's bring it forward, 9/11. Coincidentally or not, Mueller is brought in to head the FBI about 1 week before September 11th. Interesting coincidence. And what is Mueller's contribution to the 9/11 investigation? Well, among other things, within days of 9/11, Mueller is directly involved in whisking the bin Ladens and high-ranking royal Saudis and Saudi officials out of America so that they could not be questioned or investigated. And, of course, here we go. This is the hallmarks of a Mueller operation. And not only, Ryan, does Mueller get the Saudis and the bin Ladens out of America, he goes and rounds up hundreds of immigrants in New York City who had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11, puts them in jail and abuses them so he can make a look to America like he's doing a good thing. And by the way, and I'll be very brief on this point, after 9/11, when Congress and the joint inquiry were trying to find out the facts of 9/11 and how this happened, Mueller did everything in his power to obstruct, sabotage, and confound investigative efforts. Let's talk about the anthrax. Hmm. Of course, we know that five people died, two senators, United States senators received mailings of anthrax. The FBI, and this was an investigation in which Robert Mueller had his hands on the steering wheel, they pinpointed Dr. Bruce Ivins, again, a scapegoat, the best scientist in that deal with spores and anthrax, saying, look, there's no way this guy did it. He didn't have the materials. He didn't have the resources. He didn't have the motive. He didn't have, there was no investigative evidence that lined up. And in fact, one of the top anthrax experts in the world said, look, it would take a year and a half. There's only four or five people in America that know how to do this. Ivins is not one of them. I actually know how this was done. This guy was a inspector general or had a high-ranking scientific position with the United Nations. He said, look, Ivins didn't even know how to do this. I might know how to do it, but it would take me a year and a half with a top-flight staff and tremendous laboratory resources to do it. And the FBI is saying, this guy did it in a couple of days. It makes no sense. Ivins was scapegoated because they needed to point the finger at somebody right as the investigation was going to have to receive public scrutiny. Ivins either committed suicide or was murdered. We don't know for sure. But his death conveniently spared Robert Mueller's investigation, the public scrutiny.
It's interesting to hear the argument laid out against Robert Mueller from a Democrat. He's a Democratic state senator in Louisiana and author of the new book, Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order. John Milkovich joining us here on KMOX. We'll continue our conversation with him next. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and it's not too often you find Democrats that are willingly open to come out against the Mueller investigation. Wow. He has a book out called Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order, and he looks back at some of the different instances and big major events in the past couple of decades that Robert Mueller was a part of and ties it into what's going on today. Democratic State Senator in Louisiana, John Milkovich, joining us here on KMOX. And John, you were mentioning the Pan Am Flight 103. You also talked about the anthrax, but this also could play into stories of weapons of mass destruction and how that took over the national narrative.
Weapons of mass destruction. We know what happened. That was the mantra. That was the meme, I think is the word they use nowadays, to get us into the war. Over 4,500 American soldiers have been killed. Over 134,000 Iraqi civilians are now dead. Over 32,000 American soldiers wounded. The war in Iraq has cost, according to official estimates or institutional estimates, $1.7 trillion. Which, with war benefits for veterans, could go to over $6 trillion. Mm. And what was the story? How did we get into that war? Weapons of mass destruction. Did Robert Mueller actually go to Congress and under oath and try to tell them that Saddam Hussein had weapons? Absolutely, he did. He will do anything for the establishment, which I guess gets us to the big point. Donald Trump is an outsider. He's a cowboy. He's a maverick. As he said at his inauguration, Ron, that there had been plenty of people on that platform, the inaugural platform, with the ex-presidents and former officials, and you know, Dick Cheney, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Obamas. He said, look, for years, you all have been toasting your successes. You are winning and the American people are losing. He says, that starts changing today. Well, look, Mueller's he's part of the clique. He's part of the globalist establishment. And he is part of the power elite. And Trump's an outsider. He's breaking the rules. He's a wrecking ball. He's wrecking them on trade. He's ruining their efforts to destroy America by taking away our sovereignty and destroying us with unimpeded immigrants. And look, I'm sympathetic to immigrants. I realize it's a difficult, morally constitutionally significant issue. But President Trump saying, let's look at people before we let them in and have a country overrun with terrorists. Anyway, Mueller is out to get Trump. And what the American people need to know, in my view, is that they have been lied to. Mueller is not Dudley Do-Right. He's not the on-time press white shirt, Eagle Scout, straight arrow. He does wear Brooks Brothers suits. That part's true. But in reality, he's not only morally challenged, he's morally upside down, and he's a bully. And as far as what he is willing to do to get Trump, I don't put anything past him. And I think we're seeing a pattern of, this is the Mueller hallmark. Let's let the guilty go free and persecute the innocent. Is he shaking down people and terrorizing them, telling them, if you don't say what I want you to say against the president, you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail? I haven't been there present at the session. It's up to the American people to figure out if that's what's going on.
Wow. Well, that may be the longest answer I've ever received from a guest on this radio program. But you have a lot of stuff to talk about. Is this what's laid out in your book? You're making your argument and some of the things you found over the history of what you've seen with the FBI?
Hey, listen, this is all documented in the book. And it's a great book, but really I have to say that, Ryan, it's not because of John Milkovich. This book is great because of the soldiers, the federal agents, the whistleblowers, the DOJ people, the writers, the researchers, the families of 9/11 victims. It's the people that have, as I say in the book, sacrificed, risked everything and sacrificed much to bring out the truth. And then the people that have written books about Pan Am, the evidence about the corruption and just absolute desecration of human life, freedom, and the rule of law that characterized Mueller's career, that's been documented by many, many other people. Yeah. And I give them credit in the book. And I don't like taking, I feel uncomfortable taking credit for the book. I try to give in the book, I say, in the acknowledgments that, look, we're acknowledging all Americans are in the debt of the courageous federal agents, writers, researchers, officials, and ordinary citizens who have risked all and sacrificed much to bring to light governmental wrongdoing of the last 30 years.
Democratic State Senator in Louisiana, John Milkovich, what I don't understand is how are you a Democrat?
Well, I'm old school. I'm old fashioned. When we ran, we made it very clear, Ron, that we were running based upon the Bible, the United States Constitution. I'm very disappointed and really appalled by some of the things Democrats are doing in Washington. It's just ridiculous. And I think a lot of Americans think we've got to get beyond parties and partisanship and politics back to purpose and priorities and principles. I think this is part of our message. I'm really very encouraged when I see President Trump working hard to connect with ethnic minorities in America. I think that's important. I'm just going to guess. You may know. I don't. But, how many hundreds of thousands or millions of Democrats voted for President Trump? I think we need to get beyond this, where are you on the political, the Republican-Democrat scale, and let's get back to right and wrong. And I think this president's trying to do some things, and they don't want him to because they don't want America to win.
Oh, okay. Well, it's fascinating your take when you set up your argument and look at some of the history behind it. I know a lot of people have talked about this, but it's so easily dismissed. When you read certain things online, you automatically look at certain topic and say, ah, no, that can't be right. There's no way. It's just one of those clickbait, fake news type of deals. But there is a lot of information out there that is very truthful and relevant that is easily dismissed because people just, well, they just, their first impression is that can't be real. There's no way the government could act in a certain way. It is important to research these things and not dismiss them. It is important to go back and look at history. And I'm glad someone's doing that.
Yeah, well, yes, Ryan. And basically, you know, we, in our book, we do rely upon independent researchers to a large extent. And look, a lot of it's federal agents. You know, we want to get mad at the FBI and the CIA. And I'm telling you, I've been very disappointed, even heartbroken over some of the things federal intelligence agents have done. But the reality is many of these federal agents have seen some of the things that we're seeing and been revulsed, and had a conscience and had a backbone and had morality and say, this is wrong, and they've blown the whistle. And, of course, the book, we also have citations. We rely upon Washington Post, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Time Magazine, LA Times. So if you really put together the whole narrative using, you know, public, independent researchers and independent press, as well as the mainstream press, and just connect the dots. It's like, it's not, in my mind, it's not even a matter of opinion. Robert Mueller is, and we say it in the book, he's morally averse. This is a man whose method of operation would have fit within, you know, communist or fascist regimes. And, you know, I'm not the only, Sean Hannity famously said that, you know, the head of Stalin's secret police, Laurenti Beria, said, show me the man and I will show you the crime. In other words, they target somebody, mm-hmm. and they're going to take them out no matter what. And he mm-hmm. said, look, that's what's happening with the president. Do they really believe that he conspired with Julian Assange or Russian agents or whoever and said, look, let's break into Hillary's computer and get her information out and release it to the media? I mean, do they really believe that's what happened? I mean, if that's the case, what are we into this, $15, $20, $30 million? And where is the evidence that President Trump worked with Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's computer, if they even did it? And I'm not, and you may know more about this. It was my understanding that the people that have that computer haven't even wanted it tested by an independent consultant and analyst to see who hacked it. But, I mean,
well, the problem, too, is, you know, that you have the forensic people that have to reconstruct a lot. You look at all the different computer parts that were destroyed through the Clinton administration and plus the people around her when they found where they found those hard drives in a person's garage. And that was seemed to be the biggest clue, but you never heard anything about it. It was almost a year ago where there was someone trying to flee the country. They're trying to cover up for this person, and these lost hard drives show up, and all of a sudden, no one talks about it anymore.
That's a great point. And honestly, I am not on top of that issue. Do you know who has possession of those hard drives?
I thought he turned them over to the FBI, but I'll have to follow up on that. The last I heard of was, you know, he worked with, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But basically, there was someone that was going through a house that they purchased or whatever, found these hard drives, figured there was something fishy about it. So he turns it in. The person that was the IT specialist for this politician, he ends up fleeing the country. He worked with them for years, almost gets away with it. So all of this information is turned over, but then nothing happens with it. It's a year later, and we haven't heard a thing. All right,
so much to keep track of, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's very hard to keep track of. We'll wrap up our conversation with John Milkovich. He's an attorney, also a Democratic state senator in Louisiana. It's not too often that you hear elected officials who are Democrats criticize Robert Mueller. He's got a book out called Aaron Boy for the New World Order, where he gave some instances of how Robert Mueller has had his hand in certain investigations in the past that have been questionable, and he raises some of the concerns going into this investigation that's ongoing. We'll continue that conversation next on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. One last time with Democratic State Senator in Louisiana, John Milkovich. Yes, a Democrat criticizing the Mueller investigation. All right, so if people want to check out your book, which you have out now, and you can go to Amazon, I'm sure. Is there a website where people can find Aaron Boy for the New World Order?
Sure. Ryan, it's Robert Mueller Errand Boy. That's Robert Mueller Errand Boy. And, of course, Mueller, as everyone knows probably by now, it's spelled M-U-E-L-L-E-R, Robert Mueller Errand Boy. And look, you know, this is a dangerous individual. I mean, I think Alex Jones famously said that he went to Washington and he said grown men, powerful men, men with partnerships in very prestigious, wealthy, powerful law firms in Washington, shaking in their boots. They're terrified by this guy. I mean, you know, in a democracy, we believe in the rule of law, not that someone like Robert Mueller can trample the law. And I will say this, if he, in fact, is shaking people down and trying to scare them into make an untrue statement, that is a felony. That's suborning of perjury. Prosecutors do it sometimes, but it is illegal. That is not compliance with the rule of law. That's a very direct and overt violation of fundamental principles and fundamental American laws.
Starting to sound like Rand Paul there. You should become a libertarian. Get on that side. Get in on that.
Well, and I'm really, you know, I think Rand Paul is really one of the good guys, a courageous man. I know his daddy was really a tremendous beacon on so many issues in his work in the Congress. And I think what we're getting at in the book is a couple things. Number one, there's just we call it a, quote, epic disconnect between the Robert Mueller that's presented by the media and the Robert Mueller that's characterized and really revealed through his past career. And we did go through the perfunctory steps. We made a request to the Justice Department saying, look, we would like to ask some questions to Robert Mueller about his past career in the Department of Justice and the FBI. We never did get a substantive response to that. But there's two different people here. I mean, Robert Mueller, Mr. Good Guy, who never leaks and who always tells the truth and always is on time and always looks great in Brooks Brothers clothes, versus this, what we call a chronic collaborator with a career characterized by cover-ups, corruption, unconscionable conduct. I mean, yes, I'm saying it, but what's important is the research and findings and work of so many other people that have, you know, drilled down on this and reported their findings proves it.
Yeah.
He's got a career of 30 years of cover-up. How does that qualify him to decide whether America deserves Donald Trump as president or not? To me, Robert Mueller does not possess the ethical integrity that equips him for this job. And I guess, you know, in a final note, one of the things we say in the book is that, look, this is a difficult and really a terrifying time for America because we have a president who, because he's an outsider, is under continual attack 24/7. And we say this in the foreword that, quote, Robert Mueller is an imposing and dangerous figure whose temporal power rises like a mist from the subterranean enclaves of the occult elite. Mm-hmm. Yet, despite Mueller's methods, his furies, and his menacing power, the American narrative continues. Ron, we have a lot of heroes out there. You're one of them. Keep speaking the truth, keep standing for the truth, and keep believing in the truth. And, of course, you know, we believe in God first and then family and country. And we believe there's enough Americans out there that believe in the right thing that are willing to stay the course and stand up and take the risk. And President Trump is one of them. Mm-hmm. Is he perfect? No. Is he standing up and taking on these people? Absolutely yes.
Got it.
We have hope for America.
John Milkovich, thank you so much for coming on Overnight America, state senator in Louisiana and author of the new book, Errand Boy for the New World Order. You can look it up online, Amazon. John Milkovich, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Listen, my privilege, Ryan. God bless you, and I really enjoyed doing the show with you tonight.
You know, he joins us on the Quiver River Electric Guest Line. Weren't expecting that one, huh? A state senator in Louisiana, a Democrat, highly critical of Robert Mueller. Wow. Was not expecting something like that. We'll podcast that, too, if you wanted to check out any of those things. Man, we got a lot to... I got so much stuff in the stack here I didn't even have a chance to talk about on the show today. We still got another hour Another hour. Next hour, we're going to cover some of George W. Bush's comments. Very touching tribute, the eulogy to his father. And I'm sure you'll hear more of that on CBS at the top of the hour. Also, former SNL writer has been booted off stage in Columbia University. I'll tell you why. And Republicans finally getting a win on a campus in a lawsuit. You see the thing Burger King's doing now? Burger King is going all out against McDonald's in their latest stunt. I don't know if I like it or not. It's actually, it made me reminiscent of the old radio station stunts. I've heard a lot of old personalities that would get into just these fights with the stations across the street. They couldn't stand each other, so they're always trying to pull pranks and do something to make them look bad to get publicity. And that would go over and over and over and over again. And this is what it sounds like, Burger King and McDonald's. All right. A couple other things I didn't really get a chance to get to. Major League Soccer, the MLS for the lose. Jim Cavanaugh was on Charlie Brennan's program earlier today. Oh, and next hour, I'm going to replay that Wolfman Jack interview, Charlie Brennan's interview with Wolfman Jack. It was awesome. I got to tell you, if you missed it, we're going to replay that, and you're gonna love it. So Charlie Brennan earlier today had Jim Cavanaugh on, and he talked about what's going to happen next. So he feels Major League Soccer could award a team to St. Louis early next year if it goes St. Louis's way. If it goes St. Louis's way. And it could even be as early as late January. That's like super quick. Said, then obviously we would actually have our first game. We would be, it said, would be when we get the land prepped and the stadium built. In the meantime, Cavanaugh said the group has things that they're working on, including a lease agreement with the Board of Aldermen, other continuing with officials of the city and other visits. We also have, I think, the commissioner of Major League Soccer is still going to come to the town. And then they talk about property tax exemption, city ordinances, all other things they need to continue to do. That was passing that last resolution vote, but there's still other things they need to make clear. Big move by the Cards. Paul Goldschmidt, and six-time All-Star from the Diamondbacks, making his way here this year. And by all accounts, this is a huge, huge win for the Cardinals. It may be just what they needed. Now, I don't want to jinx it. I'm so sorry if I'm going to jinx it. So sorry. But they said the same thing about Ryan O'Reilly. But I'm not a huge baseball fan. I'm going to trust the people that are saying that when you get a six-time All-Star over here and a club that was this close to the playoffs last year with the big stretch and the run it made towards the end of the year and some of the changes it made, look at all the emerging players that stepped up. If we can get that again, add a Goldschmidt to that. Mm. One other thing, the U.S. women's team will be playing at Busch Stadium in May. That's a big announcement they're going to be making tomorrow, 2 o'clock. At the stadium, Cardinals making that announcement. So they're actually going to be playing in Busch Stadium next May. Really cool. That's a good deal. The women's national team getting a game out this way. I wanted to mention this real quick, and I thought we can end the hour on Roy Orbison's song. He passed away December 6th, 1988. Hard to believe it's been that long. It's hard to believe it was 88 of all things he was able to do. He had one of the most dynamic voices that you could ask for. And actually, next year, his traveling hologram show will be making its way for a permanent residency in Branson, which is pretty cool. Roy Orbison performed at the Front Row Theater, Highland Heights, Ohio, December 4th. He returned to his home several days later and passed away December 6th. Real, real sad. They suggested all kinds of different memorials. And obviously, if you're a Roy Orbison fan, real sad day. Even if you're just a music fan. So I figure for a little tribute to Roy Orbison, let's end out the hour here, at least for some Roy Orbison with you. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Every time I look into your loving eyes, I see love that money just can't buy. Got it. begin to understand everything about you. Tells me I'm yours.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.